Mr. Chairman, if you would like, may we proceed with the petition that's on your agenda. Mr. Steve Baumberger is on the line. We'd be a few minutes ahead, but with your permission, we'll go ahead and proceed and talk about the petition at this time.
Yeah, welcome, Steve.
Good afternoon.
So I'll just lay out a little information, then we'll give Mr. Baumberger an opportunity to visit with you as the commission. Mr. Baumberger submitted a petition to the commission asking for a rule change, which would create the regulation of having only one smallmouth bass greater than or equal to 15 inches to be allowed in the daily bag limit on Lake Sharp. And so as a petition comes forward like this, again, just for your reminder, the commission has 30 days to act on a petition that is brought forward for rule change. The meeting today falls within that 30-day time frame. As a petition submitted like this, as a commission, you essentially have two options. Number one, accept the petition as it's brought forward to you, and by accepting a petition, that would initiate the rule promulgation process, which would then put it in the public notice and then come forward for your further discussion at the next commission meeting. Or through discussions, if you so choose to deny a petition, then we would work with you and bring forward a resolution for you to pass, adopt, and accepting specific reasons for denying such a petition. But before we move forward with any of that, I think it'd be appropriate to give Mr. Baumberger an opportunity to visit with you and explain to you the reasons for bringing his petition, and then we can go from there. So, Mr. Baumberger, the floor is yours if you'd like to address the commission and talk to them about your petition.
Okay. Would it be okay if I start with a question for the Game Fish and Parks biologist?
Sure.
Okay, so with smallmouth bass, it seems that we've really liberalized the regulations across the state. Glacial Lakes region, for example, I don't believe there's any special regulations for that area in regards to size. Obviously, Lake Sharp doesn't have any trophy status anymore. Are we still managing our lakes in South Dakota for smallmouth, or are we trying to get rid of them?
Well, Mr. Baumberger, again, this is Tom Kirschman, Director of Wildlife Division. We're certainly managing fish across the state in all those bodies of water out there, providing fishing opportunity. I will ask Gino Adams, our Fisheries Program Administrator, to jump in and give a more concrete answer from a statewide basis in respect to management.
Hi, this is Gino, Program Administrator. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, good. Good afternoon, Chairman Olson, members of the Commission, Secretary Robley. Smallmouth bass, as far as our statewide management, smallmouth bass have gotten into a lot of different waters through natural means, and they've also been stocked in a lot of different waters around the state from over the last 25 to 30 years. And we've done a lot of different management activities, different regulations on smallmouth bass over time. And you've probably heard us talk about with walleye that we have a 25 to 30 year database on an experience in managing these populations statewide. And what we've found with bass, and smallmouth bass included, largemouth bass and smallmouth bass, is that when we have these regulations on across the state, harvest is what makes those regulations work. Without harvest, those regulations don't do much. And our harvest of bass is at a totally different level than a species like walleye. When you look at walleye harvest on a lake, like we'll use Lake Sharp, it's in the, generally in the 70 to 200,000 per year harvested category. When you look at smallmouth bass, we're looking at anywhere from 4,000 to 17,000 harvested in a year is our estimate from Trail Survey. So across the state, we just have not been able to show that those bass regulations are improving the population size structures. And another anecdotal, or not anecdotal, I guess, but another way to look at it is if you look at our lakes that don't have regulations on them, that's where, I guess, our last state record smallmouth bass came out of a lake that didn't have a regulation. So we just haven't been able to see much improvement in the size structure in these waters across the state, and therefore we've removed a bunch of them across the state. He's not wrong. We have removed a lot of regulation, only because they haven't been impacting the population size structure, and it's been taking opportunity away from a smaller number of people who want to harvest that.
So explain to me how you were getting your harvest data.
Our harvest data generally comes from creel surveys, which are estimates that are done based on interviews with anglers on a variety of waters around the state. We have creel surveys that have been imparted on all of the reservoirs for decades, basically. And then East River, some of the smallmouth waters have had creel surveys done on a, not on an annual basis, but on a less than routine basis, but we still have a fair amount of creel information, and we just know in general that bass just are not targeted and harvested at the same level as walleyes are in most of our lakes. And you've probably seen as well that we've removed walleye regulations from a lot of lakes. Because even with those harvest levels being in the, on Lake Shark being in the 70 to 200,000 range, we still question whether or not those regulations are improving the size structure for those populations. And it's the same with some of our Northeast South Dakota lakes, where our walleye regulations, even at a much higher rate of harvest, are not really improving the size structure and the quality of those fisheries. So we're removing them.
You're not creating a quality fishery because all the fish that are greater than 15 inches are being caught. So what you end up with is a pool of fish that are all about 14 to 14 and a half inches long. That's common sense. But you look at the fishing pressure on our lakes, it's only getting worse and worse every year. South Dakota is open year-round. Minnesota is not. Iowa is not. There's more harvest than you realize. I have never seen anybody on Lake Shark doing a creel survey at the ramps I use in the last 3 years. So your data is highly inaccurate. Now, my reason for this is to improve the size structure, which I've seen decline since 2014. I seldom, from the dam 6 miles up, catch any fish that are remotely close to 18 inches long. And I know the lake can grow them that big because I've seen pictures in the past. I had a buddy 15 years ago. He made one trolling pass across the dam and caught 5 smallies that were all 18-inch proud anglers. You do that same thing today, you will not catch a one. I guarantee it. So my thought is, let's create some size diversity in the lake. Let's let the big bass help to control the little bass. And I've seen this. I've seen an instance where I caught, a 14-inch smallmouth. And when I got him in the boat, guess what he regurgitated? He regurgitated a 6-inch smallmouth. So if we have better size diversity in our lakes, you're going to have a better overall healthy fishery. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody involved in BASS, B-A-S-S, organization, for these rule changes? Or are they just all sitting on their butts thinking everything's fine and dandy? Is there any BASS members on this call? Hello?
Not that I'm so identified.
Okay. Did you get any kickback from them when the Glacial Lakes regulations were taken off?
Steve, this is Chairman Olson, and I just want to you know, I mean, we've tried to accommodate you moving this up, and I don't want to get this into a back and forth with you and staff that could be handled outside of a public meeting. You know, let's try to just get to explaining the rationale of your position, and then we can move forward, please.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. I just told you what I'm looking for is better size diversity across Lake Sharp, so that those of us that aren't need hunters have an opportunity to go out and fish and catch something other than a 12-inch smallmouth or a 10-inch smallmouth. That's what I'm looking for. I think it's a win-win for the walleye, for the anglers, for the sport fish anglers like myself. And I think it's a win-win for the resource. So with that, I'll let you guys think it over. Okay, thanks for your time.
Thank you for joining us today. We know you had a time constraint at the 2 o'clock deal, so glad that we could accommodate you to get you in here to give your testimony.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirschman again. And again, thank you, Mr. Bomberger, for bringing forward his petition and appreciate the questions. And again, we would agree with you that further dialogue and discussion with our staff on specifics, we are more than welcome to have those conversations. Back to the petition itself, we did provide you some background history on this particular topic, and as you will see in there, our position as the department, at least from a recommendation to you, is to deny the petition based on the three or four items that Gino just articulated. From the perspective of the complexity of regulation, we do not see the biological impact and some of those reasons. So we are certainly open to discussion. We've got Gino online and others can help answer any questions that you may have in deciphering this. But again, our recommendation to you would be to leave as status quo. We're obviously going to continue monitoring Lake Sharp, not only for smallmouth bass, but other fisheries populations as well. Our staff are fully aware of this, and we'll continue to keep this on the radar as well. But with that, we'd certainly turn it over to you to your discussion and any specific questions that we can help answer for you in your discussion.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate that. Any questions from the commission? Comments?
Questions, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
On the suggestion of the 15-inch, what is the current status on other lakes in the state? Do we have an award, you know, stated by Gino that we're moving away from that? Do we have any much, for, you know, as far as acreage, what percentage might we have something similar today, or are they pretty much all yesteryear, so to say?
Gino, I'm going to turn to you. Would you mind answering that question, please?
Yeah, no problem. There are a few lakes left that have some size restrictions on them for bass. Some of those are associated with a study we were doing a few years back where we were removing bass from different waters and then not removing bass from other small waters and looking at the impacts on the population size structure to see if we can grow some bigger bass in some of those waters. And we didn't want to take those regulations off in the middle of that study that's not been finished yet. So there are a few holdouts there. But for the majority of the waters around the state, the bass restrictions have been removed. Like I said, there's just a number of them that are left. Lake Sharp is like a little history on Lake Sharp. It had what was termed a slot limit from 2003 to 2007. So bass underneath 12 inches could be harvested and one over 18 could be harvested and all the rest had to be thrown back. And then from 2008 to 11, we lowered or narrowed that slot to 14 to 18 inches and tried to get a little bit more harvest on some of those smaller bass so we could improve growth. And that's the last time that we had a lot of good growth information on bass in Lake Sharp was that 2011-12 period. And so one of the things that we have discussed as a staff already is we'll be taking length from smallmouth bass in our creel survey this year, and we haven't been doing that normally. And we're also going to take otoliths, which is the ear bone inside of the smallmouth bass in our gill nets this summer. We're going to try and get some more recent growth information to see how those fish are growing on Lake Sharp in this current time period. Because the last time we did that was It was back during the, at the end of that regulation period, and what we found then was that the bass in Lake Sharp was growing to basically 17 to 18 inches, and then as one of our biologists said, it became the retirement home for smallmouth bass, and they just didn't grow any bigger than that. That was the top end of our growth. So we plan on going back and seeing if that has changed this summer.
Any other questions, comments?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Tom, could you further explain what the sentence is that says smallmouth bass is impacted by the presence of gizzard shad dominated forage? Could you explain how that limits their growth?
Yes. So Lake Sharp and Lake Francis Case are both very similar reservoirs. Their primary forage base is gizzard shad, and that's a small forage fish. We're at the north end of the gizzard shad range in those two reservoirs. So you get much further north, and they just don't do as well. If you look at Lake Oahe, that doesn't have that top-end growth limited, they have smelt and herring and a lot of other species that are available as food. In Lake Sharp, those gizzard shad, they're at very low density for the adults, and we grow really big gizzard shad in Lake Sharp at the northern end of their range, and they get really old, but there's not very many of those adults. Each spring, those adults, the few adults, produce millions of gizzard shad offspring, and those offspring will be basically walleye and bass candy all spring and all early summer, and they grow over the summer, and then they get to a point where during the fall, when that water gets cooler and cooler, those small, young of the year gizzard shad will start to die off. And that's where you get down to a few adults are left. And so we have really good food available for those bass and those walleyes in Lake Sharp from the time those are hatched until they start to die in the late fall. And then until the next spring, there's really not a great forage base for those fish. And that's what limits their growth more than anything on Lake Sharp and Lake Francis Case. And you can see the size structure of walleyes and smallmouth bass in a Lake Sharp or a Lake Francis Case. They can have really good size structures. But when Lake Oahe, with those different forage base, those more high caloric, high density, oily fish are available year round, it just blows them out of the water as far as growth is.
So, Gina, would you say that maybe this petition is getting the cart before the horse, and it might be better to revisit this conversation after you collect your data this year and come back, and if there's enough to support a limit or a trophy size on there, that your data that you're going to collect this year would actually be able to show that for next year?
Yeah, I mean, we will definitely have additional information in the upcoming couple of years to be able to see how if growth has changed. But what I can say is that if growth hasn't changed a whole lot, which is what I would guess would be going on, then we would be right back to where we were in 2011 after we took that regulation off, where we just didn't feel like the regulation was going to do anything for that population. And there are other circumstances with Lake Sharp going on here that I didn't mention, one being after 2011 when we had the flood. Everyone knows about from 2011 until now how we lost a bunch of the walleyes in Lake Oahe. Well, a lot of people don't realize that we lost a lot of walleyes and smallmouth in Lake Sharp in 2011 because that constant release of water from Oahe kept Lake Sharp cold the entire year. And it was one of the only years that we can remember where we did not have much for gizzard shad reproduction because the water was too cold. And we lost a lot of smallmouth and walleye during that time frame. And so this population is different from before to after. And one might be able to say that before 2011, that there was too many bass in that lake. I mean, those were the days when we had a lot of complaints from walleye anglers, from people on the lower end of Sharp, that smallmouth bass were almost pesky because there were so many of them. And, you know, that could be argued that there was too many. and now it's kind of correcting itself, and it's at a little bit different, level than it was before 2000.
Thank you. Any other questions for Gino or any other staff on this? If not, be willing to accept a motion, either approve or deny the petition.
Move to deny.
Then a motion to deny. Seconded. Discussion on the motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Commissioner Whitmire, I trust what I've learned today from staff on that they're doing their best to understand the situation and the growth of fish, the circumstances that are conducive, and with the studies that they've gone going on and will continue with. I trust their read on this, and I too would be in favor of denying.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to deny indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Tom, you'll follow up with appropriate paperwork to bring back to us either later today or tomorrow?
Yes, we'll get that in front of you. We'll get it put together and visit later again.
Okay, thanks. So we're at